The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9, reading from the New International Version. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth and all with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. The second reading is from John chapter 10, verses 7 to 11. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep."
So just a couple of questions then to begin with. How do you get into your house? When you get home, how do you get into your house? You can talk to me. Wait for your husband to unlock it. Yes. You break the windows. Okay. Anything else? You go through the back garden. Yeah. You go through the front door. Wow. So let me see a show of fingers then. Who of you actually goes through the door into the house? That is the majority, I think. Yeah, I've seen you. Yeah, I have seen all the fingers and the hands. I think the majority of us actually goes into our house through the front door. When you get a visitor, how do they get into your house? Who? Sorry. how does your visitor come into the house? Through the door, yeah? They knock on the door first, or they use the doorbell, and then they come through the door, yes? Okay, you need to shout. I can't hear you. Their visitors also break the window because it is funny all the time. But okay, so the majority then, apart from the people who really want to break the window, the majority just come through the front door, right? Why do we have doors in our house? Why do we have doors? Yes. Absolutely. I'm going to use the other microphone. So you say we have doors in our house because of why? Absolutely, yes. So we can get in and out, and so that otherwise we will probably get cold. You know, when the door is open here, it's even colder than it already is. Yes, why else do we have doors? Sorry? Oh, for sending bills, so we have an address. Yes, so they can put that, that is a very good one. Do we have doors to keep people out as well? We keep the cold out, but do we have doors to keep people out as well? Yeah? No? Yes? No? I can't hear anything. Yes, we do have doors to keep people out as well. What would you think if your visitors came and really did break a window? What if you saw someone actually climbing through the window, say upstairs in your bedroom? Would that be scary? Or would you think that is actually quite okay? That would be scary, wouldn't it? Or if you saw someone climbing over the gate of your garden or over the fence of your garden, would you be worried about that? Why? You had that, yeah. They can break the back door. Once they're in your back garden, they may break into your back door and just come into your house. And then what? They may just steal your whatever, brand new television or iPad or whatever. So, I think we can say then that it is a little bit strange when people do not use the door to get into our house, right? If they don't, they may not actually be someone who we want in our house. If they climb through the window and they break the window, if they climb over the fence of the garden, they may actually be someone that we don't particularly want to have into our house. So now we are in your house and you want to get away because you need to go to school and you need to go to do the shopping or whatever. You may even want to get away from your big brother or your baby sister or arguing adults or whatever. So how would you get out of your house again? By the door. Do you just pick any old door? Which door is it? Oh, you jumped out of the window that you smashed. Okay, well, you are just ruining my illustration now. Who would go through the front door? Yeah, I know, you would break a window. You actually use the front door to get out. Okay, that's good. Okay, I've got a little task for you. 5 minutes, and I need the help of your leaders here to get you all back in the pew again after 5 minutes. Just go and have a look around this place here and count how many doors there are and see where they go. I need you to come back and tell me how many doors there are and which door goes outside. 5 minutes. Okay, I heard several answers, and they range into the 20s and the 30s, how many doors you all count. To be honest, there are, in this part of the building, there are only 6 doors. And Kiel actually pointed out that there was one more. There is a little door going into the pulpit there. So in this place, there are only 7 doors. Once you go through those doors, there are more doors. But here, in this space, there are only 7 doors. Which door goes outside? Point to me in the direction which one goes outside. There's only one there that goes outside. So if you want to go to your games and to your lunch after this, the chances are that you're going to use that door. That is what they should use. Exactly. That is the door you should use. So, we have established then, with all of this, that people who do not use the normal front door are suspicious and may not be the people that we want to have in our house. And also that not all doors lead us there where we need to be. This was just a little illustration to set you up for what I'm really wanting to tell you. But it just shows that, you know, we use stories and we use illustration and images that we can actually understand in our time and in our day. And Jesus, of course, did the same. And he used the picture of a sheep pen. And he said, you know, people are a little bit like sheep. Sheep like to live together, like people. They are nice. They like each other's company. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am like a shepherd of sheep. Now, in those days, they had different sheep pen. And once some of them were in the center of villages and in the center of a town, and all the sheep of different sheep shepherds would be together in the sheep pen. And it didn't matter, because the next day, when the shepherds would call them by name, they just all would go with their own shepherd. Now, if we can go back one picture, Chris, please. In the hillside and in the countryside, they did have different sheep pen, and they were more like the ones you see here on the screen. And in those sheep pen, the shepherd would actually go and be the door, if you like. If we can have the next picture. So it's not that clear, but you can see the shepherd just lays himself down, and none of the sheep can come in and out, unless he actually allows them to go in and out. And that is what Jesus said at the time. He says, I am the door of the sheep. I will call them out by name, and they will come and follow me. They know my name, and I am the door. They can only get out if I know it. But I take them to a place of life where life is full and abundant. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean when life is full and abundant? It has nothing to do with all the stuff that we have. It has nothing to do with how much money you have, or how big and flash a car you have, or how many houses you have, what job or what family, the place you live, the trainers you wear. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with religion as such. It doesn't matter what your function is in church. It doesn't matter whether you're the minister or the elder or just a kid in the pew. It doesn't even matter which Boys Brigade company you belong to. It has nothing to do with all that. Or how many hours you work in the church. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with how clever you are in your head and how well you can, what they call, manipulate people. It has nothing to do with how well you can get other people to do what you want them to do. And it also has nothing to do with competition, like I know you guys like. What it does mean is that Jesus says, I will take you to a place where even in the madness and the rush and the uncertainty of life as we live it in these days, there will be a place of quiet and a place of rest. You will know someone and you will know something that will give you peace in your heart and that will give you certainty in your heart, even when everything around you falls apart. Even when you are nervous as can be because you have to speak in front of a whole bunch of people. Even if you think that actually you may be very good in all these competitions, but you know that one day, in one area, you are actually going to fail. It is in those situations that knowing Jesus gives you an anchor. We're going to sing about that later, about will you your anchor hold, you know, and that anchor is Jesus. Because you know that he actually knows you. He calls you by name and he goes in front of you and follow and leads you to a place where it is good, no matter what happens in the world around you. And the reason why he can do that is because he is the one who has given you the breath and who has given his own last breath to save you. Because he is the one who, as we saw in the video earlier, has the checkbook, is the one who wrote the check, and is the one who also cashed the check for you. Because he is the one who went through an entire human life, knows what it is to feel rough, to cry, to be hungry, to be insecure, to be betrayed by friends. What it is to have pain and what it is to die. Not just die, but die in a horrible, horrible way. And he got through that. He has been there. He has done it. He wears the t-shirt. And he has become for us. I'm going to use an illustration here. Now, this is a little bit tricky, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't know if you watch these programs, but I get quite into these programs where Bear Grylls takes people into Africa and they have to do the most horrendous stuff to survive. And he kind of lets them go and works it out for themselves with some instructions until a certain extent. And then he says, no, this is going to cost you your life. This is the way you should do it. Otherwise, you're going to die and you're not going to make it. The people on that expedition, they all listen to what he has to say because they would like to get to the other end of the jungle. It is a little bit like that with Jesus, but in an entirely different way. He knows what it is to live a human life. He knows what it is to go through death and rise from death again. What it means to come back to life and what it means to be victorious over death and over sin. He knows the way. And he calls us and says, you know what? I know a way through life and through death that will actually get you to the place where you will have life in abundance and life to the full. I can get you to a place where life can be as it really was intended to be. Come and follow me. I am the one with the check. I am the one with the breath, with the means, the power. He is the one who is real, who is true. He is the one who is just and who does not trample, who does not dismiss and who does not blank you out, who does not shout, who does not stab, who does not bully and who does not go. He does not call you useless or stupid or dumb or loser or a waste of space. But this is what he does do. He stops you and he looks you in the face and he says, I know you. I know who you are. I know your bad things, but I also know your good things. Come and follow me and I will bring you to places that you never dreamt were possible to get to. I will give you a place where you can find peace and rest for your soul, where you can have an anchor that will hold no matter what happens in the world around you. He He says, I am the gate. I am the door. I know you. Come and follow me. I will keep an eye. I have got your back. I will look out for you. I know how to do it. I have been there. I have gone all the way, and I am the way. And that is the door for all of us, Jesus Christ.